from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's up, Atlanta? How we doing? It's another Saturday edition of The Other Side of the Glass. Chris Thomas with you until 5 o'clock. As usual, producer Eric Slaughter hanging out with me for the full three. I think after last week's 4.5-hour marathon show, they were like, we'll give these guys a break today.
Hold on, they're giving you a break, sir.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Doing the noon to 6:30 because I'm hanging out with my man, Dylan Matthews.
Dylan's coming in the house at 5 o'clock. I'll chat with him around 4:45. But, yeah, last week we did a long show together.
And then you've been filling this week. You've been filling last week. So
yeah.
They gave you a break, brother. They gave you a break.
Yeah, I did Monday and Tuesday on Dukes and Bell. Mike Bell is off. And then on Thursday, I did the night show. So your boy's been, it's been the summer of turtles so far. And listen, I wouldn't have it any other way. I love being here talking with y'all in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. All right, what's on tap today on the program? Well, I'm glad you asked. Right now, Braves are bottom three, one out. Charlie got out of a bit of a jam last inning, so he was able to do his thing. And I will keep you updated on that. Of course, we know doubleheader for the Bravos after last night got rained out. E, I don't know about you, but last night, like, it rained by me, and I'm not that far from the stadium, but, like, not a lot. Like, I didn't think the game had to be postponed. I don't know what had happened was, but for me, I was like, I think they could have gotten it in.
Well, I was traveling 75 South past the stadium at about 9 p.m.-ish, and it was where you had to slow down to a crawl to see in front.
Okay. So I guess just a couple of miles away in Midtown, It really wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I was coming from the, I was up at Lake Point doing some ball games, coming 75 South, and man, yeah, it was very, very, very thick. Got on 285, and I mean, I was doing 10 miles an hour just to be safe.
I feel for you because it was steamy. Yesterday. This is that time of year, like outside today, it's only about 82, 83, but it feels like 100 because it feels like you're, again, Mike Conti told me he liked my reference when I said it feels like you're walking through a can of soup as you make your way through the city of Atlanta. But I want to start with the Falcons today, and E, I'll ask you first, and then as usual, we'll fire up the phone lines, and we got our buddy D-Led joining us at 2:40 to preview Falcons camp. But I was thinking, and my running joke is sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes that's not a good thing. But I think I came up with a pretty good topic here today. Because in 4 days from now, we'll be at camp, man. And there's a lot on the line. This is a humongous year for the Atlanta Falcons in terms of expectations, performance, contracts, coaching, Everything. Everything is on the line for the Atlanta Falcons in 2024 as they look to break their 6-7 year playoff drought. It's bad, guys. So with that said, we're all looking for that thing to lean on, right? That sliver of hope, the glimmer, the twinkle in our eye, if you will, that says we're good. We're ready. We ready. You know, come on, Atlanta. So my question to you today is this. 404-726-0929. Who is the one player on the Falcons for you that you need, not you want, you need to hear a good report card from when we break camp in about a month? Who is that player for you? And I'm going to give you some options, but I want to know, you can only pick one player. A couple of months ago, we did a fun exercise where I asked you guys who is the most important player on offense, and then we did a different show about defense. You don't get that option today. You only get one player. Who is the player on the Atlanta Falcons that needs an A report card, in your opinion, to feel the best that you can going into week one against the Steelers? 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. There's a couple of obvious ones, and then I think there's a couple of dark horse candidates. And again, you can pick anyone on the roster. If you want to tell me that Younghoe Koo needs the best report card because he didn't have a great year last year, I'll listen. That's why we have the phone lines. Because listen, he wasn't amazing last year. I would say there are a lot of players that I would put before him. But if you want to come on here and say that Younghoe Koo needs to make every kick in camp, otherwise the Falcons should consider starting to move on from him, I'll listen. But I think there's a couple of guys that are obvious. Let's start with the most obvious in Kirk Cousins, right? Quarterback one. And the most important thing about that is he's not healthy. He's not fully healthy right now. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to some radio back home in New York, and the host told the story about how Kirk Cousins walked into the booth for the Yankees as a guest and was saying and was asked by the team, how you feeling? And he said, you know, I'm moving along. Everything's going as scheduled, but I'm not 100% yet. All right, well, camp starts in 3-4 days. So how much are we going to get to see Kirk Cousins? Do you need an A-plus report from him by the time we get at camp on August 21st that, you know, he's done everything he could do and that he's going to be ready to go week one? So that's an obvious one. Another obvious one, and might be my choice overall, is Kyle Pitts. Does Kyle Pitts look like the number 4 overall pick from a couple of years ago? Does he look like the guy that was going to be the next heir apparent to George Kittle and Travis Kelce and TJ Hockenson and all these hybrid tight end guys that are 1,000-yard receivers? Well, he hasn't been that in 2 years. So does he need an A report card at a camp? Looks like he's moving. Agility's good. He's running full speed. He's catching balls. He's not, you know, slowing up by half a step. Is that your guy? How about a couple of defensive guys? For me, AJ Terrell. Couple of reasons. One, kid wants a new contract, right? So he better be playing like a dominant CB1, which, if we're going to be completely honest, has he been the last couple of years? So I need an A report from him on camp talking about he's locking guys down. He's that guy. Maybe even gets a pick or two, because we know that's not a strength of his. So that's another guy that's an option. Again, 404-726-0929. What one player do you need to hear that they got an A report coming out of camp for you to feel most comfortable about this team? How about Grady coming off the injury? The Falcons need Grady more than they ever have this year. If you look at the state of their defensive line, I mean, sheesh. We talked about this yesterday on Dukes and Bell. You're going to have probably Arnold Ebiketie and Braylon Trice as your starting defensive ends. That means you need Grady and David Onyemata and Ruka Roro and Brandon Dorlus and all these guys that you drafted to have really solid camps. So is it one of those guys? Is Ruka Roro, do you need to hear that he's the second coming and he's going to be a wrecking ball in the middle of the line next to Grady Jarrett? Does he need an A report card from you? There are so many guys. And you know what? If you want to say it's Raheem Morris or Zach Robinson, it's not a bad answer either. Do you want a report from me and from Carl and Mike when we're at Hooters talking about, oh man, the 11-on-11 portion today, the offense was, you know, bombing. They were Kyle Pitts caught a 60-yard touchdown pass in the air on a dime from Kirk, and that was all designed by Zach Robinson. Is that what you need to hear? So 404-726-0929, as always, got a couple of segments off the rip to take your calls. E, before we get to the phones here, who is your pick? Who is the one player that needs an A report card from camp?
This is going to stare you up, Chris. It might stare up some of these listeners, too. Michael Penix Jr.
Ooh, why?
Because I need to know that if our $100 million guy is not completely ready, we have the right backup plan. I need to know if our $100 million goes down. I want Penix to have the best training camp ever and then still never see the field.
Okay.
But I want the confidence that, look, if he goes down, this is why we did it, and we're going to shut some people up about it. So he needs to come in. He needs to grasp the playbook. He needs to look good in camp. He needs to be studying hard, and then he needs not to play. But if I need him, he's got to
be
ready.
Better be there. I don't necessarily agree because he's a backup player, but I think your reasoning is sound, and I like it. All right, 404-726-0929. Chris in College Park starts us off. Chris, which player do you need an A grade from camp this season?
Hey, what's up, Turtle, man? Sounding good on a Saturday afternoon, man. Yeah,
appreciate you.
Hey, man, I'm a beat the drum, and I've called your show and other shows, and to me, it's Bijan Robinson. For one reason, man, there's no position that translates from college football than a boss running back. You've seen him from the 60s, the 70s, 80s, into present day, come right out of college and put up 1,000 yards. And I think he was underused and wasn't used right last year, and I need to hear he's catching it out of the backfield. Him and Cousins got a connection. I need to hear him in the slot. And right behind that, you dropped a nice name, the offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson. Please use Bijan. Don't protect him. Don't, like, you know, I know you got to keep him fresh throughout the season, but let him go. And then you got Tyler Algiers right behind him. I think the running back position, Bijan, I need an A. I need to know you're in shape. I need to know you're doing your thing. That's it, dude.
All right, Chris, appreciate you as always, man. Thanks for checking in. 404-726-0929. That's another good one, because what did the Falcons say this offseason, E? We're going to run them. You want him? You got him. He's going to be the best. I don't actually agree with that. I think Tyler Algiers should be a big part of this offense. I don't think it should be, you know, 85-15 carries for Bijan percentage-wise. But if that's what the Falcons are going to do, that's what they're going to do. So, Bijan, you know, they used him a lot his rookie year. I think, you know, maybe by the end of the season he was feeling it a little bit as his rookie year in the NFL, which is totally fine and normal. Listen, and Chris mentioned about making sure he's in shape. If you ever see this dude, I mean, he is. He is one of the most jacked individuals you will ever see.
He can walk straight into a men's health cover.
Yeah, exactly. That dude's like 220, and he's got like 3% body fat. It's unbelievable. All right, this will be a fun way to end the segment. Let's see if I get a straight answer at a good old Mel from Southwest Atlanta.
Hey,
Mel.
You know what? Every time I call and at least talk to you, he always try to downplay me for some reason, but
he did not do that, Mel. He did not do that, Mel.
You want me to call you a carpetbagger, but I'm not going to call you a carpetbagger.
No, Mel, all I want to know is who. Mel, all I want to know is who do you think is the most important player for the Falcons? Okay, then answer.
I'm
going to
give you my question.
Good.
My answer?
Go ahead.
I'm going to see Pitts get 10 touchdowns this season.
Me too.
And I'm not worried about whatever the other caller is talking about. I want to see Pitts. I ain't worried about the yardage. I want him to have 10 touchdowns. Because the reason I'm saying that, we know what kind of bomb quarterbacks we had last year.
True. We had
all
bums.
The bum quarterbacks we had last
Ritter,
year.
Ritter, bum. Heineke, bum. You're right.
And the bum coach we had last year.
I can't argue with you there either, Mel. All right, great job. Appreciate it. That was the best phone call I've ever had with Mel. Short, sweet, to the point. There wasn't a 45-second intro about how I'm this, that, and the third thing. Mel, appreciate you, man. You call if that's the call you're going to bring to my show.
You
call me anytime you want, Mel. You call me if that's what you're bringing. I love it. You made good points. I agree with you. Great call from Mel. All right. That's a good way to start out the show. 404-726-0929. All right. We got another full segment of your calls on this coming up before D-Led joins us at 240. Which Falcons player? You can only pick one. Could be offense, defense, or coach. I'm fine with a coach, too. Do you need us to report to you at the end of training camp this time next month that they get an A grade? Which player is most important to you for the success of the Falcons next season? 404-726-0929. Your call's next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Good job, Mel.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There can only be one in this discussion. Chris Thomas with you until 5 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Who is the Atlanta Falcons player, only one, that you need to hear an A grade as a report that we give you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for you to feel like you're ready to go for this season coming up? 404-726-0929. Had a couple of great calls from Chris in College Park and our good buddy Mel. Best call I ever had with Mel in my nearly 3 years now on the radio with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So shout out to the OG Mel for bringing it today. All right. So there's a couple of different options, right? Because you can go Kirk Cousins. Duh, that's the obvious one because he's coming off the injury. So we need to see as much as we can see from him in training camp, which I don't think will be much, unfortunately, but we'll obviously give you everything we hear and see. E said Michael Penix, which I thought was an interesting pick because he's the heir apparent, and we want to make sure that if Kirk isn't ready to go, that he is. I think A.J. Terrell is a good option because who the heck is playing CB2? And so he's going to need to have a big year. He also wants to get paid. Grady Jarrett's coming off an injury. So there's a lot of different guys you can choose from. 404-726-0929. Let's get it back out to Wayne in Decatur. Wayne, who do you think?
Hey, what's going on, Turtle? Hey, I'm going to ride with Mel today. When you got an athlete like Kyle Pitts at 6'6", 245, runs a 4'4", 81-inch wingspan. He is a walking mismatch every day and twice on Sunday. But Kyle Pitts' ability is tied directly to a first-time offensive coordinator. Can he coordinate the plays to get him one-on-one with guys where he can either out-jump them or outrun them? So I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts because I think he's ready to eat. And he received a lot of criticism, I feel, unfairly because he was hurt. Plus, like you said, we had bombs throwing him the ball. So, hey, it's Kyle Pitts, bro.
Appreciate you, Wayne. You know, I tend to agree, man, because it's not only for this year, but it's for the future as well, right? Picked up the fifth-year option, and then what? He needs to have a ballin' year. And also just for the offense, right? For the offense to execute in a way to the best of its ability, Kyle Pitts needs to be a major factor. If you want Drake London to finally be a 1,000-yard receiver, Kyle Pitts needs to be, you know, available to be in the flow of the offense. Because otherwise, who are you respecting? You know, it's just such an important position. And I know that they came out and said that he's going to be involved as a wide receiver too. But, you know, at the end of the day, he is a tight end. So you better make sure that he balls out this season. I don't know if he needs 10 touchdowns, like Mel said. But at least, I mean, what is his career touchdowns right now? I think he has 4. He's got to double that, right? Has to, at least, minimum, right? I think I might be leaning towards Kyle Pitts as well. But you are allowed to pick from anybody on the roster. You get one choice, 404-726-0929. Scott is in Atlanta. Scott, who do you need that A grade from?
Hey, Turtle, what's up?
What's up, Scott?
Hey, it's always a pleasure to hear you on the radio and be able to talk to you.
Thanks, man.
Just wanted to say that. For me, it's going to be Zach Harrison. Is right now, he's our starting defensive end. And for me, I want to see him take the next step because we know that defense wins championships. I'm not really concerned offensively. I think we're going to be fine offensively. But if this team wants to reach its highest potential, go into the playoffs and win, maybe win that first playoff game or even, heck, go further, to me it's got to be the defense. And we drafted a lot of defensive players, so I don't want to have to rely on this season a bunch of rookies to make up for the sacks that we lost last year. If Zach Harrison can step up and you know, be maybe a 6 to 10 sack guy, that would be great because then we could just plug in the rest of the rookies and just have them rotate, but we won't have to necessarily rely on them in big game moments in their first season. So for me, it's Harrison.
Yeah, Scott, great call. Appreciate it. And that's a great call for a couple of different reasons. Harrison showed a little bit of pop at the end of last year. He finished with 3 sacks. But to Scott's point, who we got? There is no established pass rusher on this team right now. There just isn't. So it's going to have to be, unless Arnold Ebiketie has a breakout year or Zach Harrison has a breakout year, like Scott just said, it's going to be a by committee sort of a thing. So 5 from Zach Harrison, 8 from Arnold Ebiketie, maybe, you know, 4 to 6 from Lorenzo Carter. Grady Jarrett gets 4 or 5. Like, that's how you're going to make up your sack totals this year with this team. So, Scott, that's a great call, and I think that there are a bunch of guys on the defensive line that could get involved as well. Again, Chris Thomas hanging out with you until 5 o'clock this afternoon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The topic at hand, we are just about to hit camp. So this time next month, camp will be over, almost exactly a month from today. What is the one player or coach, because a couple of guys have mentioned Zach Robinson as well, and I think that's a good call. Do you need an A report card grade from us here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for you to feel the most comfortable you can going into next season? And I just think there are so many options to choose from. Raheem Morris could be an option. Coach better know what he's doing. He's putting a lot of faith into some players at positions that don't have a ton of experience, right? Clark Phillips, the aforementioned Zach Harrison, Ruka Rororo. There are guys that are going to be expected to play major roles on this team this year that aren't exactly experienced, let's say. Let's be nice and say that this defensive unit doesn't exactly have shades of, Reggie White coming to save the day here. Although Grady is the leader of the defense and coming back off injury and a captain in his own right. But this is going to be a by-committee type defense. So there's a lot of individual players that are going to be counted on to pick up the slack. How about Troy Anderson? He's coming back this year off an injury. Is he going to start? Did Nate Landman, Wally Pipp, Troy Anderson, is he going to be a rotational guy now instead of a starter? he was supposed to be a key piece to the linebacking core when the Falcons drafted him a couple of years ago. Now, who knows? Because you have Caden Ellis, you have Troy Anderson, you have Nate Landman, you have all these guys that are viable positions now to be starters. So I'm not entirely sure. You drafted a guy. What's his name? Is it J.D. Bertrand? Yeah, that's the guy out of Notre Dame, right? That we drafted, Captain America, they're calling him.
And he's a local kid, too. Blessing Trinity High School.
So, exactly. So, you have all these guys for all these spots. So, I think that for me, the linebacking core is probably the area I have the least amount of concern about on the defense. But not the defensive line, but the edge rush, I definitely have some concern about. Cornerback, too. You guys know how I feel about that. How about DeMarco Helms? Is he going to start? Second-year player out of Bama? Seventh-round pick? Is this dude going to be your starting safety? That's a large responsibility for him if he's going to be involved. So you may need to see him step up and be a ball hawk in practice this summer. So there's a lot of different guys that you can choose from. So far, just to recap, we've had a couple of votes for Kyle Pitts, which I think is an obvious one because it's a not only is it a contract year, but it's a put up or shut up type of year for Kyle Pitts as well, because we just haven't seen it the last 2 years. Whether it's not his fault that he was injured, but you know, at the end of the day, you got to put up the numbers that you were drafted to put up. Kirk Cousins is another obvious one. QB1, is he going to be ready to go? How much progress are we going to see him make? Is it going to be from the first day that we show up there on Wednesday till the last day that we leave, is he going to have made major progress? Only time will tell. We won't know until we get there. So do you need an A grade from QB1? Another guy? How about Caleb McGarry? Dude is walking a thin line, I think, because if his pass blocking doesn't get better, we are going to be in a precarious situation there with Kirk because he's not mobile. He gets the ball out fast, but if he's got a guy in his face, there's really not much he can do about it. And we know Caleb McGarry has been known to not be a great pass blocker. Drew Dahlman as well. I was not impressed with him last year. Not only was he not, I mean, I know PFF rated him as a really good blocker, but I didn't see it personally just with my own eye test. And then there was the whole snap issue, right? Him and Desmond Ridder could not get on the same page with the snaps. I don't know whose fault it was necessarily. I'm not going to pretend to know. But as a center, you got to get the ball to the quarterback. That's, you know, as the cliche goes, basic blocking and tackling, man. That's something that you got to be able to do. So the offensive there, I would say other than probably running back, maybe receiver, and interior defensive line, are those the only spots without a major question mark right now? I think you can make that case. So 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929 if you want to jump in. With an extra minute here, I'm going to tease something that we're going to talk about later in the show. I saw an article today from Fox 5 Atlanta that Chick-fil-A has been dethroned as the number one fast food chain in America. I was stunned. And you know what? They didn't finish second either.
Really?
Yep. So I will tell you who beat them, who came in second, and what the reasoning is.
I was about to say, I want to know why. I got a guess.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that whenever you're ready for it.
The restaurant at number two, I can understand. Because they're all over the country and
or the world?
I think they're all over the world,
okay.
But
right.
They're definitely all over the country.
Cool.
The thing that they sell is something everybody loves, so I get it.
All right, and I'm looking here. What time are we getting to that one, brother?
We're gonna find a spot for it. Well, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna do that at 3:20 because Caleb Johnson is gonna move to 4:00.
Okay.
He had something to do.
All right.
So, in less than an hour from now, I will tell you which restaurants, plural, beat out Chick-fil-A. You are not going to believe who's number one. You won't believe it. I was absolutely stunned. when I saw who was number one.
All right, you make sure you give him the source's info because I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it was on Fox 5 Atlanta.
There it is.
All right, 404-726-0929. How about that? So you do not want to go anywhere. Appreciate all the calls today talking about the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get some more calls in later before I get on out of here. Who is the player that you need to see an A grade from when we break camp in almost exactly a month from now as we talk about who was great, who struggled, what we liked and what we didn't like? You can only choose one player. Hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio as well if you can't get through on the phone lines. Coming up next, D-Led will preview camp with me next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's here, man. Falcons camp is, I can smell it. I can smell the heat rising off that practice field up at Flowery Branch, man. It's a tradition unlike any other. And who else but to help to break it all down on the WadeFord.com hotline? Let's welcome in the great D. Orlando Ledbetter. You check him out in the AJC. D, it's that time. Are you ready?
Of course I am, Chris. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Let's get it started.
Yes, sir. I cannot wait. I'll see you up there in just a couple of days. All right, let's start with the most important position. How much, if at all, and what kind of work are we going to see from Kirk Cousins?
Well, you know, he said his date was August the 1st. I'm expecting limited action for him, kind of much like we saw in the offseason. You know, nothing 11-on-11, nothing contact. You know, they got the ramp-up period here, which would take you right to August 1st. And, we'll see as we get closer. But the first couple of weeks, wouldn't see too much of Kirk Cousins, I don't believe.
So then would that mean that Michael Penix Jr. should get the majority of the reps, and what can we expect from him?
No, because he didn't get any rep with the ones during the offseason. So, the fact is that, Kirk Cousins is the quarterback, Taylor Heineke's here, and Michael Penix is a developmental project. So I don't expect to see him much, in practice, but certainly, they got to start developing him, and we'll see what Coach Morris has to say about his action in the exhibition season.
Interesting, very interesting. Keeping with the offense here as we're chatting with our good buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. Make sure you check out his work and write-ups in the AJC all summer long. All right, Bijan Robinson, we know the coaching staff has come out and said we're going to use him like the number 4 overall pick that he was drafted at. When it comes to his usage rate, do you think he's going to be the primary dog, or does Tyler Allgeier get more carries than he did last year when he got his workload reduced?
No, I think when you say you're going to get him the ball like Christian McCaffrey, then that means he's going to be getting 20 to 25 touches. Allgeier will be his backup. You certainly can find time for him in short yardage and red zone situations. He breaks a lot of tackles. He gets a lot of yards after contact. So, you definitely find somewhere for him to fit in the offense. But if you say that, hey, we're going to get on the ball like Christian McCaffrey, that means he's going to get a lot more touches than he received last year as a rookie.
Do you think that it's possible this season, because I do, frankly, if Kirk is healthy, that both Kyle Pitts and Drake London break the 1,000-yard mark?
That remains to be seen. They both, Kyle did it once, Drake got close. It's going to be a matter of, who's open, who's throwing up for who. It's Kyle on the other side. Is Drake and Kyle running rub routes together? Is Bijan on the other side? Can Darnell Mooney beat a one-on-one? He should be open too. So it would be plausible, if Kirk Cousins is okay. The only problem with it, Chris, is, this ain't a pass blocking line. You're going to have to run the ball first, and then you got to be able, your passing's going to come off of play action. Because, you can't drop back 40 times a game with this offensive line. And they've been running the ball great the last 3 years, but you got to remember that in a drop back game, they have not been very good in pass protection.
as you were just mentioning there with the offensive line, there are two guys that I highlight in those categories, and that is center Drew Dahlman and right tackle Caleb McGarry. Do you think one or both of those guys is going to have a short leash?
No, they, Dahlman's done a good job of being a technician as an undersized tweener up there. Caleb McGarry, he's who he is. He's a mauler in the run game. And, if you're going to drop back with him, you did go out and sign a tight end, Charlie Warner, that can block. So put him next to McGarry. He's just going to be a little bit short on the pass route runners and give him somebody to help Chip and, Chip block over there with him, in the tight end. Or, you don't have a fullback anymore, so you got Chip with a tight end. So, give him some help. Don't put him out there where you know he's going to get beat. They got to scheme it up and protect those guys.
Talking with our good buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. Make sure you check him out for full training camp coverage in the AJC. All right, on the other side of the ball, they certainly drafted a lot of interior defensive linemen, but what is the status of the stud Grady Jarrett right now?
Yeah, Grady, when I talked to him last, and then he talked to the media on the last day of the mini camp. He's shooting to be back by the start of training camp. We haven't had any announcements of him going on any physically unable to perform list or any of that non-football stuff. So I think he should be all go. We'll certainly check in early next week to see if that's the case. And, he said, hey, I might be back, but my ramp-up might maybe look a little different than everybody else's ramp-up. So, clearly – Coach Moore said this about Cousins, and I'm thinking it's going to apply to Grady, too. They clearly want him ready to go on September 8th. They don't really care about the August the 9th game against the Dolphins.
Right.
They really care about the September the 8th game against the Steelers.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. When it comes to the defensive end pass rushing spots, you have a bunch of unknown there, D. Some guys that have had some mediocre success at best. Who do you envision being the two starting ends?
Arnold Abicady and Lorenzo Carter, who's been a solid pro, if not spectacular. But certainly you can start the season there. Can you get Braylon Trace ready to go? And Bradley Anae is the guy to keep an eye on, who we've been hearing about from years from his time at Utah and Dallas as being a good pro prospect. And so you got to find some players somewhere along the way from the scouting department. We need the scouting department to come up big, certainly in the pass rush game. We'll be looking at those other guys in that group, too, to see, hey, can this guy play? Can he do it? Zach Harrison's the other one. Evan Cady and Zach Harrison are the two guys that jump off the depth chart with you and say, hey, where's the pass rush going to come from? They've shown flashes, but we need to see them do it game in and game out.
We know that the Falcons love Rukororo, but how much can we expect his development to make him NFL ready? How much playing time should we expect?
Yeah, Rook has been a late bloomer. He's a sturdy guy. I'm thinking you want to start him out with stop playing him and then see how much you can put on his plate. Raheem and the defensive guys out in the Rams, they found a lot of young defenders last year that helped them turn that defense around pretty quick. But, they had Aaron Donald to play with them too, so that helped. Rook, I actually had the other guy, and a lot of people did have him from Illinois, Davis, ahead of him. But he's out with the foot injury, so, they got the best guy now, it seems like. And we'll see what he can do. He's certainly going to have some opportunity to get on the field and, get up the field and penetrate. If he can do that and cause some havoc, they'll be more than happy with that.
Do you expect Troy Anderson to get his starting spot back right away, or is he going to have to earn it after the season Nate Landman had?
I think he's got to earn it. You don't give up the third tackler on the team with 110, just give his job away. Troy was playing, out of position. He's not a real instinctive linebacker. He just had a lot of speed. I would spot play him. I would play him in some coverages where I can cover the tight end with him on third downs and so forth. But, I'm thinking that's going to be one of the battles of camp. And let the best person win the job, not the fact that Nate's undrafted and Troy's a second-round pick. Don't just put Troy out there because you drafted him. Make him earn a job from Nate Landman, who showed that he could play at an NFL level.
Chopping up all things Atlanta Falcons with training camp right around the corner with our good buddy D-Led. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter and check out his work in the AJC, as he'll have exclusive coverage on camp as well. All right, so when we talk about the third level of the defense now, D, I mean, CB2 has been the spot that I know I've talked about it with you. We've talked about it with everybody here on the radio station. Is it ultimately going to be Clark Phillips? And if so, how much help are they going to give him?
Yeah, I think as it stands, it's got to be Clark. The veteran guys out there, Gilmore, Patrick Peterson, those guys cost too much. The Falcons only have about $3.1 million under the cap under the top 51 rule. So you can't, you know, you can move the numbers around and go get one of the guys. But, and then you got the second level group, J.C. Jackson, Eli Apple, and those guys. So, you know, you're going to be looking for a veteran cut somewhere. Maybe Bradberry had a tough time in Philly last year. Maybe a veteran, a corner somewhere along the way that you can, you know, get when the cut down to from 90 all the way down to 53 now. But right now you got to figure, hey, Clark Phillips, get out there. Let's see it. You did a little bit last year, do it again. And then Mike Hughes and D. Alford and all those guys, they can win the nickel job. Richie Grant can play some big nickel, so you're okay at nickel. And then if Phillips doesn't hold out, you got to go get one of those veterans off the scrap heap. And Fabian Moreau is out there on that scrap heap, too.
Oh, no. D-Led.
I'm just telling you who's out there. I'm just telling you. If he can't do it, because he's going to get a lot of action early there against the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Steelers. So if he's not ready to go, you might have to get one of them street veterans to come in here and, you know, at least play some cover two zone for a little while.
Yeah. All right. Before I let you go, what type of practices are you expecting? I know when we were there last year with Arthur Smith, with the quarterback limitations that there were, we didn't see them do particularly a whole lot. In terms of even tempo, how are you envisioning Rod to run his practices?
Yeah, it'll be much like Coach Quinn's practices, a lot of enthusiasm. They'll ramp up per the NFLPA rules. You'll see a more pro-style approach to the passing attack because you got pro-style passing quarterbacks now. You don't have that pistol stuff. So 7-on-7s will be pretty hyped. Not a lot of tackling. Well, probably no tackling. So, you know, that's kind of the gym part class of it. And when they do get physical, down in Miami, we'll be there to see how the lines hold up and see if they can, you know, pass protect and so forth. So those will be the keys. But real pro, classy, high-end, Shanahan, Sean McVay style offensive practices, then defense is more high energy, Dan Quinn, Raheem Morris type practices that we were used to from 2015 to 2020. They used to really get after it and even got a couple penalties from the league, but that's neither here nor there. That's what I'm expecting here at this training camp. As you know, things have modified from the good old days where you could go for two practices and, you know, really get after hitting wise in the morning and come back and walk through things in the afternoon.
All right, D, appreciate you as always. We will see you in a couple of days. And enjoy the training camp, my friend. I'm looking forward to it.
Sure, Chris. No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is the great D, Orlando Ledbetter. Make sure you check him out in the AJC, along with us here at 92.9 The Game for more extensive coverage of Atlanta Falcons camp. I mean, everybody's going to be out there. All of our buddies, Miles Garrett, who I'll chat with on Monday, Allison Mastrangelo, Kelly Price, all of our good buddies on the TV side and the print side as well. All right, when we get back, we'll take a couple more of your phone calls at 404-726-0929. You just heard from D-Led. We just broke it down. Which player do you need to hear that we're giving an A grade to for you to feel the most comfortable after camp? There's a lot of options on the table. Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, Kyle Pitts have all received votes. It's here, man. Falcons camp is, I can smell it. I can smell the heat rising off that practice field. up at Flowery Branch, man. It's a tradition unlike any other. And who else but to help to break it all down on the WadeFord.com hotline? Let's welcome in the great D. Orlando Ledbetter. You check him out in the AJC. D, it's that time. Are you ready?
Of course I am, Chris. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Let's get it started.
Yes, sir. I cannot wait. I'll see you up there in just a couple of days. All right, let's start with the most important position. How much, if at all, and what kind of work are we going to see from Kirk Cousins?
Well, you know, he said his date was August the 1st. I'm expecting limited action for him, kind of much like we saw in the offseason. You know, nothing 11-on-11, nothing contact. You know, they got the ramp-up period here, which would take you right to August 1st. And, we'll see as we get closer. But the first couple weeks, wouldn't see too much of Kirk Cousins, I don't believe.
So then would that mean that Michael Penix Jr. should get the majority of the reps, and what can we expect from him?
No, because he didn't get any reps with the ones during the offseason. So, the fact is that, Kirk Cousins is the quarterback, Taylor Heineke's here, and Michael Penix is a developmental project. So I don't expect to see him much, in practice, but certainly, they got to start developing him, and we'll see what Coach Morris has to say about his action in the exhibition season.
Interesting, very interesting. Keeping with the offense here as we're chatting with our good buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, make sure you check out his work and write-ups in the AJC all summer long. All right, Bijan Robinson, we know the coaching staff has come out and said we're going to use him like the number 4 overall pick that he was drafted at. When it comes to his usage rate, do you think he's going to be the primary dog, or does Tyler Allgeier get more carries than he did last year when he got his workload reduced?
No, I think when you say you're going to get him the ball like Christian McCaffrey, then that means he's going to be getting 20 to 25 touches. Allgeier will be his backup. You certainly can find time for him in short yardage and red zone situations. He breaks a lot of tackles. He gets a lot of yards after contact. So, you definitely find somewhere for him to fit in the offense. But if you say that, hey, we're going to get on the ball like Christian McCaffrey, that means he's going to get a lot more touches than he received last year as a rookie.
Do you think that it's possible this season, because I do, frankly, if Kirk is healthy, that both Kyle Pitts and Drake London break the 1,000-yard mark?
That remains to be seen. They both, Kyle did it once, Drake got close. It's going to be a matter of, who's open, who's throwing up for who. Is Kyle on the other side? Is Drake and Kyle running rub routes together? Is Bijan on the other side? Can Darnell Mooney beat a one-on-one? He should be open too. So it would be plausible, if Kirk Cousins is okay. The only problem with it, Chris, is, this ain't a pass blocking line. You're going to have to run the ball first, and then you got to be able, your passing's going to come off of play action. Because, you can't drop back 40 times a game with this offensive line. And they've been running the ball great the last 3 years, but you got to remember that in a drop back game, they have not been very good in pass protection.
As you were just mentioning there with the offensive line, there are two guys that I highlight in those categories, and that is center Drew Dahlman and right tackle Caleb McGarry. Do you think one or both of those guys is going to have a short leash?
No, Dahlman's done a good job of being a technician as an undersized tweener up there. Caleb McGarry, he's who he is. He's a mauler in the run game. And, if you're going to drop back, with him, you did go out and sign a tight end, Charlie Warner, that can block. So put him next to McGarry. He's just going to be a little bit short on the pass route runners and give him somebody to help Chip and, Chip block over there with him, in the tight end. Or, you don't have a fullback anymore, so you got Chip with a tight end. So, give him some help. Don't put him out there where you know he's going to get beat. So, they got to scheme it up and protect those guys.
Talking with our good buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. Make sure you check him out for full training camp coverage in the AJC. All right, on the other side of the ball, they certainly drafted a lot of interior defensive linemen, but what is the status of the stud Grady Jarrett right now?
Yeah, Grady, when I talked to him last, and then he talked to the media on the last day of the mini camp, you know, he's shooting to be back by the start of training camp. We haven't had any announcements of him going on any physically unable to perform list or any of that non-football stuff. So I think he should be all go. We'll certainly check in early next week to see if that's the case. And, you know, he said, hey, I might be back, but my ramp-up is going to maybe look a little different than everybody else's ramp-up. So, you know, clearly Coach Moore said this about Cousins, and I'm thinking it's going to apply to Grady, too. They clearly want him ready to go on September 8th. They don't really care about the August the 9th game against the Dolphins.
Right.
They really care about the September the 8th game against the Steelers.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. When it comes to the defensive end pass rushing spots, you have a bunch of unknown there, D. Some guys that have had some mediocre success at best. Who do you envision being the two starting ends?
Arnold Abbacady and Lorenzo Carter, who's been a solid pro, if not spectacular. But certainly he can start the season there. Can you get Braylon Trace ready to go? And Bradley Anae is the guy to keep an eye on, who we've been hearing about from years, from his time at Utah and Dallas, as being a good pro prospect. And so you got to find some players somewhere along the way from the scouting department. We need the scouting department to come up big, certainly in the pass rush game. And, you know, we'll be looking at those other guys in that group, too, to see, hey, can this guy play? Can he do it? Zach Harrison's the other one. Abbacady and Zach Harrison are, you know, the two guys that jump off the depth chart with you and say, hey, where's the pass rush going to come from? You know, they've shown flashes, but we need to see them do it game in and game out.
We know that the Falcons love Rukurororo, but how much can we expect his development to make him NFL ready? How much playing time should we expect?
Yeah, Rook has been, late bloomer. He's a sturdy guy. I'm thinking you want to start him out with, stop playing him and then see how much you can put on his plate. Raheem and the defensive guys out in the Rams, they found a lot of young defenders last year that helped them turn that defense around pretty quick. But, you know, they had Aaron Donald to play with them too, so that helped. Rook, I actually had the other guy, and a lot of people did have him from Illinois, Davis, ahead of him, but he's out with a foot injury. So, you know, they got the best guy now, it seems like. And we'll see what he can do. He's certainly going to have some opportunity to get on the field and, get up the field and penetrate. If he can do that and cause some havoc, they'll be more than happy with that.
Do you expect Troy Anderson to get his starting spot back right away, or is he going to have to earn it after the season Nate Landman had?
I think he's got to earn it. You don't give up the third tackler on the team with 110, just give his job away. Troy was playing, out of position. You know, he's not a real instinctive linebacker. He just had a lot of speed. I would spot play him. I would play him in some coverages where I can cover the tight end with him on third downs and so forth. But, I'm thinking that's going to be one of the battles of camp. And let the best person win the job, not the fact that Nate's undrafted and Troy's a second-round pick. Don't just put Troy out there because you drafted him. Make him earn the job from Nate Landman, who showed that he could play at an NFL level.
Chopping up all things Atlanta Falcons with training camp right around the corner with our good buddy D-Led. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter and check out his work in the AJC, as he'll have exclusive coverage on camp as well. All right, so when we talk about the third level of the defense now, D, I mean, CB2 has been the spot that I know I've talked about it with you. We've talked about it with everybody here on the radio station. Is it ultimately going to be Clark Phillips? And if so, how much help are they going to give him?
Yeah, I think as it stands, it's got to be Clark. The veteran guys out there, Gilmore, Patrick Peterson, those guys cost too much. The Falcons only have about $3.1 million under the cap under the top 51 rule. So you can't, you can move the numbers around and go get one of the guys. But, and then you got the second level group, J.C. Jackson, Eli Apple, and those guys. So, you're going to be looking for a veteran cut somewhere. Maybe Bradberry had a tough time in Philly last year. maybe a veteran, you know, a corner somewhere along the way that you can, you know, get when the cut down to from 90 all the way down to 53 now. But right now you got to figure, hey, Clark Phillips, get out there. Let's see it. You did a little bit last year, do it again. And then Mike Hughes and D. Alford and all those guys, they can win the nickel job. Richie Grant can play some big nickel. So you're okay at nickel. And then if Phillips doesn't hold out, you got to go get one of those veterans off the scrap heap. And Fabian Moreau is out there on that scrap heap, too.
Okay. Oh, no. D-Led.
I'm just telling you who's out there. I'm just telling you. But yeah, you got if he can't do it, because he's going to get a lot of action early there against the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Steelers. So if he's not ready to go, you might have to get one of them street veterans to come in here and, you know, at least play some cover two zone for a little while.
Yeah. All right. Before I let you go, what type of practices are you expecting? I know when we were there last year with Arthur Smith, with the quarterback limitations that there were, we didn't see them do particularly a whole lot. In terms of even tempo, how are you envisioning Rada run his practices?
Yeah, it'll be much like Coach Quinn's practices, a lot of enthusiasm. They'll ramp up per the NFLPA rules. You'll see a more pro-style approach to the passing attack because you got pro-style passing quarterbacks now. You know how that pistol stuff. So 7-on-7s will be pretty hyped. Not a lot of tackling. Well, probably no tackling. So, you know, that's kind of the gym part class of it. And when they do get physical, down in Miami, we'll be there to see how the lines hold up and see if they can, you know, pass protect and so forth. So those will be the keys. But real pro, classy, high-end, Shanahan, Sean McVay style offensive practices, then defense is more high energy, Dan Quinn, Raheem Morris type practices that we were used to from 2015 to 2020. They used to really get after it and even got a couple penalties from the league, but that's neither here nor there. That's what I'm expecting here at this training camp. As you know, things have modified from the good old days where you could go for two practices and really get after hitting wise in the morning and come back and walk through things in the afternoon.
All right, D, appreciate you as always. We will see you in a couple of days. And enjoy the training camp, my friend. I'm looking forward to it.
Sure, Chris, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is the great D. Orlando Ledbetter. Make sure you check him out in the AJC, along with us here at 92.9 The Game for more extensive coverage of Atlanta Falcons camp. I mean, everybody's going to be out there. All of our buddies, Miles Garrett, who I'll chat with on Monday, Allison Mastrangelo, Kelly Price, all of our good buddies on the TV side and the print side as well. All right, when we get back, we'll take a couple more of your phone calls at 404-726-0929. You just heard from D-Led. We just broke it down. Which player do you need to hear that we're giving an A grade to for you to feel the most comfortable after camp? There's a lot of options on the table. Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, Kyle Pitts have all received votes. Zach Robinson, how about Raheem Morris? Coaches could be on the table as well. A.J. Terrell is a huge one for me because we just heard cornerback two is going to be kind of a crapshoot. So what is the player or coach that you need to hear the most positive things about for you to feel like the Falcons are going to make some noise? Your calls when we get back, 404-726-0929. Plus, which fast food chain upended Chick-fil-A as number one? You don't want to miss that. All coming up in the 3 o'clock hour.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.